You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Kristen.
Go D, go D.
What's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live This Week. I'm your host, Dario Kristen, known as MCD. No, not really. But I do got my backup singers and dancers right here. Welcome to another episode of This Week. We have Jesse Janity in the house with us.
What's up?
And a very special guest host today. You know her as Chloe Onyx.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course. You know, favorite people. It's always fun to come through and, you know.
Yes. Shoot the shit with us.
Shoot the shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we cussing already.
Okay.
I don't know how that happened.
My bad.
Courtney is not here today, but she will be back next week. But we know that... I said Courtney, right? I didn't say Chloe. Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, all the C's.
I mean, if you want me back next week, you know.
Well, you know, maybe we'll have
just
her back
a phone
as well.
Call.
That's right. All right, so first up, though, we're going to talk about what topics we will be talking about today, which is, one, Tyler Perry's fight with Twitter, Chelsea Handler accused of racism. I hope that's not true. I like her. Obama and the Ukraine crisis is in full effect as well. But first, I want to read the buzzer meter question from last week, which was, should the NFL players be penalized for using the N-word? You guys voted. You know how we feel here at Black Hollywood Live, because we have expressed it several times. But yes is 75% of you, and no is 25% of you. So, well, there's your answer. I mean, what do you guys think? Are you surprised
by that?
You already
know. I'm happy for all y'all that hit yes, because if you would say no, I would be like...
Okay. I don't believe the word should be used, but a fine is... I'm just saying. I think that's a little too much.
You think so?
Just a little bit. I mean, it'll definitely, you know, make people shape up.
Right.
Because when it comes to their money, like, you know, no one put on seatbelts until they were like, that's a $300 ticket. Then it was like, So, I mean, maybe that might be a good thing. Because, you know, when it comes to people money, especially black folk, you know, we're trying to keep every coin, keep coined up.
Keep
so.
The coins up, yep.
You know, I'm just saying.
Well, I voted yes, of course, because we've had this conversation before in the show. I think the word should not be utilized at all in music or in anything, because I think it gets a little fuzzy on who can use it and when it's properly. It never were proper, but who can use it at what times and what other races can use it, and people mad, and all that kind of craziness. I think if we start here, then that kind of changes the dynamics of just weeding out the word completely.
Yeah. So. We need to start watching like Roots more and like 12
right.
Years a Slave.
That's what I'm saying. Lupita just
like,
won.
Nobody
right.
gonna right. use that word. Right. How about those apples?
You know? Exactly. So. All right. So our question for today is, speaking of Lupita, should Lupita Nyong'o do a Tyler Perry film? And of course, unless you've been living under a rock, you know who Lupita is. She just won the Oscar for 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
So
kudos.
We're very proud of her.
Hand
kudos
claps.
To her. So we want to know what you guys think about that question with working with Tyler Perry potentially. And we'll read the results next week. But first up, we have Trending Topics with Jesse Janity. What do you got?
So, back in February, Essence Magazine had Oprah on the cover, and she was dressed on here. She went Michael B. Jordan, Forrest Whitaker, and she's wearing this beautiful dress, right?
I love it.
So, there's this girl on Twitter. Her name is Brandy. She goes by, her Twitter name is Snow Baby.
Snow Baby.
And she tweeted at Oprah. She said, "You look beautiful in that Essence cover pic. Wow. Can I please have that dress? Because I know you ain't never going to wear it again. LOL, love you." We all tweet things. You know what I mean? I tweet at Pharrell all the damn time, and that man ain't never respond. Well, Oprah responded.
Wow.
And Oprah says, "You know what? You're right. I won't wear it ever again. Contact my assistant and show her this tweet."
Wow.
She said, "Thank you. You are truly a blessing, sitting alone in sadness, and you have truly brightened my day."
Wow.
And so then weeks later, she tweeted at Oprah, "Thank you. I received the beautiful dress, and I plan to wear it at my wedding when I find a groom. LOL, but we'll tweet you the pic wearing it soon. Love you to life."
See, that's when you have that FU money. When you got that FU money, you can just give designer dresses away.
I gotta chill.
$1 million dresses. That's a beautiful thing. You know what? We saw Oprah at the NAACP Awards, mm-hmm. and I got to give her a shout out because her energy was just unbelievable. Yeah. She was super cool. She went through, we said it was like the mother bird feeding all the baby birds, because she came in, she gave life to all of the outlets like us, and whisked away like in the wind, really? You know. And I'm not even surprised that she would do something like this. I love the O. I love the O.
I love Oprah. I have a crazy fact for you guys.
I like facts.
Me and the lovely Oprah are born on the same day.
Oh, well, hey, that's
right.
That's
let me forget.
Good luck right
so
there.
My mom always says, you know, because I pushed you out on Oprah's birthday, you better do something great in life. So I have like so much like
some pressure.
That's pressure, right? But I'm here. So, you know, I'm starting.
You're
I'm here. Trying to make the
Listen,
moves.
You're
you
here
know?
And you're talking about Oprah.
Exactly.
Maybe you should tweet her. Tweet something specific and it might come true.
Speak it into existence. See, I'm like, we're Aquarius sisters, Oprah. Like, come on.
Exactly.
Tweet it into existence.
Tweet it into existence.
Exactly.
Well, Twitter is tweeting something into existence right now because Twitter watched the Oprah Awards, the Oscar Awards, and they saw Tyler Perry talking to Lupita, and all of a sudden, hours later, these memes came out.
I love it.
Twitter is not happy that
run Lupita.
That is so messed up.
So I'm gonna read some of the Twitter comments when they see this picture of she's literally just shaking the man's hand. People, calm the F down. But yes, the meme on Instagram is "It begins, run Lupita, run." And then Twitter came out to say, "No, Tyler, Lupita will not star in Why Did I Get Out of Bed This Morning with Michael J. White, Melissa Ford, and DMX."
Wow.
That was a good one.
Lurk Cool says, "Tyler Perry trying to hypnotize Lupita like he's Jafar's scepter, bro." Jew Jofer says, "Tyler Perry's Coffee with Cream starring Lupita and Jared Leto."
Well,
now I can't even imagine this one out. So I'm thinking we'll have Patsy meet a light-skinned Christian guy who saves her.
Wow. Okay.
Last one I got for y'all is, "My prayer is that Lupita is too smart for that."
But you know what? I will say this about Tyler Perry. I feel like he wants to break out of the box, the stereotypical,
I agree with that.
You know, the stereotype that they have him in. But even though he has a lot of money, he's doing a lot of great things for the acting community, for the Black community. I feel like he's trying to run away. And I feel like a lot of people don't know this, from that stereotype and the actual, what do you want to call them? Picture. Like, the people who actually fund him are not trying to let him run from that stereotype. You know, and I don't, not to, you know, throw him under the gate, but like if Paramount or Lionsgate or all these, you know, big picture places, they're not really, they want what they know is going to make money.
Yeah.
And anytime he tries to break away from that, it's just kind of like, nope. Like, you know, we're going to keep you in that box because it's safe. And so I've definitely done some reading on some things that he wants to do. And I know that the big deals, like, they don't really want to do it. They want to keep him in the box. So you can't really be mad at him, you know, because he's just doing, you know, like, he's just playing out whatever they're going to give him the money to do. And
listen, I mean, you know, a lot of people hate on Tyler Perry, but he also is opening up a lot of opportunities for mm-hmm. Black actors, it's producers, jobs for, you know, staff. You got to look at makeup and assistants exactly. and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I mean, sure, some of the movies, there are movies that I love of his, and there's movies that I'm not so much in love with. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that he is trying to kind of change his direction. I mean, even with Temptations.
That was a different film
from him. I have mixed opinions about the film.
I love it.
But I appreciate where he went with that as far as, like, trying to go out of the box. It wasn't a Madea.
Exactly.
You know, it was, even for colored girls, you know what I mean?
Even for colored girls.
It was just such a...
That was a great movie.
I have a little mixed review.
Really?
Because I just feel for, he tried to make it a modern film, and that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, he should have made it a timepiece. You know what I mean? And so that would have definitely done, for me personally, but a lot of people.
Right. I never read the book or anything.
Yeah,
so
it was a
watching
play.
So watching it alone, for me, from what I know Tyler Perry, it was a nice break.
It was different.
It was different.
But they just want him in the Madea because that's what's going to rake in all the money because that's what he's been known
to
rake in all the money
for.
So you got to understand, it's like, you know, it's a lot that goes along with that, you know?
I heard an interesting comment. Someone had tweeted to us that said, you know, maybe Tyler Perry just needs to stop with the writing and just focus on producing and directing because he's really good at that. And maybe it's the writing, you know, he's got a lot on his shoulders and bring in some new writers and give them some jobs and just focus on producing and directing and kind of be Oprah. Oprah ain't sitting there writing those scripts.
I feel like he should start funding other people's, you know, funding other people's projects. Maybe that
I think he'll do that next, though. I think that that's in his path. It's interesting with this picture because I'm not going to lie to you and say when I first saw this, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, Lupita and Tyler Perry, how would that work? Like, how does that work out? Because, you know, it's like Lupita's like our new regal super black actress. You know, she's like a superhero, basically, for us. And we want to see her, especially since we've seen her work in 12 Years a Slave. I want to see her
nonstop.
Nonstop. Oh, that was really that was Phil from the booth who's yelling nonstop. His movie, her movie.
It's funny because she has like two lines in it.
That's why it's a really small part, but it's with Liam Neeson, which is cool or whatever. But you know, I want her to continue on to do great films that like those classics. Like she could be the next Black Meryl Streep. You know, she could. You know what I mean? Like she's that classic black actress, and the Angela Bassett. You know, like you know she's that type of person. So I don't want to use the word dilute, but I don't want to dilute her and put her in films that
basic films.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see exciting films come from her now on. You know, so hopefully that'll be the case.
I mean, honestly, like looking at this picture, I'm like, I can't believe people like went to that place. Like she's just meeting,
and he's probably just saying congratulations. Right, you know what I mean?
Well, but he's holding and gripping that hand.
He is gripping. He is gripping.
Like, you know, I want you to really.
But he did not grip her more than Liza
Minnelli
gripped her, though. That's, you know, when she won that award.
Well, guess who else is gripping her? Speaking of Twitter.
He had to put the phone down for
that. I know, he had to.
So a few weeks ago, we talked about this girl, Densia. She is that African pop star who has this whitening. It's called Whitealicious, the skin bleaching cream.
Yeah.
Well, Lupita at the Essence Women in
your voice went really high.
Because I'm just like, the conversation is very interesting. So at the Essence Women in, what is it, Hollywood?
Women in Hollywood.
Lupita, in her speech, she addressed the skin whitening princess. And she had some interesting things to say about Lupita because Twitter went in on her and kind of made fun of her. And, well, she went on to say, well, it's funny. She def has time to share her moment with me and mention me in her speech instead of you who adores me. She's kind of just going back and forth between fans. Someone called her an idiot. She said, oh, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry, but I won't accept a role because I think I look like a slave. I work hard and decide what I want to do. I don't have a record deal or people who pay me. I pay everyone who works for me. So I can tweet how I feel, unlike most celebrities, and my money is still here. And Lupita couldn't talk about the bleaching creams white people company because it's white people companies because she makes the white... excuse me, girl. Because the white man pays her, they own her. So basically, in the sense of, girl, sit down, you know, you want to talk, because Lupita addressed her versus the company.
Right.
And then Densia is like, well, wait, girl, don't come at me. You played a slave. You are being stereotyped. So don't come towards me and being mad at me. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't even like the product.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy. What are y'all thinking?
I mean, honestly, first of all, don't mess with Lupita right now. That's all I got to say. Let's just start there.
This is my favorite tweet of hers. Wait, my PR people be like, you know, you need to say that you love black so much, but you study fucking a pink peen.
Wow.
And you study.
So is that?
What does that mean? Pink peen?
I think she's alluding to the fact that maybe Lupita slept.
They're saying that she and Jared Leto have a little fling going on. You know, privately.
He is a good-looking man.
They have a beautiful baby.
A little mixed child. Probably look like me. Maybe a little lighter, but you know.
Well, I mean, I think that this is. She directed it towards Lupita. Well, I guess Lupita initially directed it sort of towards her, but.
So wait, do they come from the same background country? Or?
They both come from Africa, but I can't remember where Densia is from. She's from like Northern Africa somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it's just, first of all, we don't need to be fighting each other. It's that black on black crime. So let's just start there. Let's just,
I think,
you know,
it's also as women, we're always trying to live up to an expectation, or, you know, whether, because, I mean, whether you're bleaching or tanning, like, I feel like it comes from a place of just being unsatisfactory with yourself. For sure. And, I mean, I'm very happy with Lupita's decision to, you know, not bleach and natural hair, because mm-hmm. now it's like this movement of this team natural hair thing, which I was really surprised but happy to hear about. But I feel like at the bottom line, do whatever you're going to do to make you comfortable with yourself. Like, yes. It's not about anybody else. Whether you like to, if you feel like you're too light and you want to go tan, or you feel you're too dark and you want to be a little lighter, you just do whatever makes you happy. Because at the end of the day, you got to live with you.
You got to live with you, and I agree with that. My only problem with skin bleaching, and I don't judge, it mm-hmm. is up to you to do what you want to do, is when they... we've seen stories of them kind of affect, like, skin bleaching little kids. And I don't think that that's right. That's if you as an adult do it, and that's your prerogative, go for it. But, you know, don't do it to a little kid who really doesn't have the ability to make the right, to make the decision.
My sister told me in the Caribbean, they have this, like, women, when they're pregnant, they have this thing that they can drink that'll, like, take out the pigmentation of their kid.
Before your kid
is born. So, like, if you, like, because skin color is a really big thing,
it always has been,
it always will be. You know, how white is white enough? Is it right? Or, you know, how dark is dark enough for you to be in a slave movie? Like, could I play a slave?
Right.
You know, is my hair too good? Is my nose too... But I consider myself a woman of color. I have African descent, you know? Right. So it's all... It's like, you're never black enough. You're never white enough. Right. What can you do? But, you know, I mean, it's all kind of crazy stuff I've heard. But, yeah, I've definitely heard of this thing where if you're scared your baby's going to come out too dark... You can take this milk that'll, like,
just so crazy
take out the pigmentation of your kid, or just bring it down a lot.
I just, my thing is with this girl, it's just like, I just feel like the product glorifies, it's called whitenicious. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
That's a crazy
thing. I've never heard of that.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe like smooth over, or like, because you want to get rid of dark spots.
Yeah,
you want,
like, I'm with
there's
that.
A, isn't there an ant? What's the product that black women have used? I've seen it.
Ambia. I mean, I've even used that before,
to be honest. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? But whitenicious, we're clearly promoting a race there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. Moving on. Speaking of white girls, Chelsea Lately. So during the Oscars, Chelsea Lately was in charge of the Huffington Post's Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Why they would do that? For this exact reason. Because she hit... She got all over the news, and people are now claiming Chelsea Handler is now racist. Right.
Oh, Lord.
Off of these tweets. First tweet, congratulations, hashtag 12 years a slave. Go to Africa or buy hashtag you gotta be kidding me, which is Chelsea's new book.
New book, yeah.
She then gives the link and then says, hashtag I'm ahead of the curve, hashtag Oscars. Because her book came out. I can't remember. And then the next tweet was, hashtag Angelina Jolie just filed adoption papers, hashtag Lupita, hashtag Oscars, hashtag Chelsea Handler.
I cannot. She's just funny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people should take her so seriously. Yeah, I mean,
she's a comedian. Wait, is this a real book?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
But what's it about?
It's about she went to Africa, what she does. So she went on Good Morning the next day, and she went on to say this.
I cannot with it.
She sat down with, what's his name, George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, George.
She said, are you offended, George? Like, really? Are you offended?
That sounds
like you
like
know
her.
Who I am, right?
That sounds
and
like
she
her.
Just looked like she was hungover on the interview. But I mean,
she's probably like, I kissed a Ugandan baby.
Yeah, like why am I here?
Right.
Yeah, like, seriously.
She said, people are mad at me all the time. If I was worried about that, then I would be spending a lot of time online. I'd rather be a little bit more productive. And I'm not racist. I date a lot of black people. So that would be a very difficult thing to explain to them. That's kind of like the go-to thing to say, so I don't know about that one. But at the end of the day, I mean, come on. We clearly know her favorite guests on the show are any rapper. She would probably bang them in the back of the green room. But the book is actually about what she does is she works really hard with and takes all of her production team on these, like, extravagant trips. And so one of the trips was Africa. And this book is about her time in Africa. It was really, like, a life-changing experience for her. So read the book, people.
Yeah, I don't take her. Races. I like Chelsea Handler. I don't think she's a racist. I think she's a comedian, like we said. I think that she does things to push the envelope as much as she can, and it will get her in the press. And this is why we're talking about her on this week today.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. This is clearly a publicity stunt.
Yeah,
clearly.
Huffington Post, they knew what they was doing.
Right.
Well, speaking of, well, this really wasn't a publicity stunt. This was just dumb. So, E! Presenter Alicia Quarles, right? She was on the red carpet, and Mindy Kaling came around. And,
oh, from the Mindy Project.
Yes.
Yeah, I like her.
And the interview went like this. So, who's your type?
What? Kate,
Mindy said, what's my type? Good looking? Alicia said, okay, so any color? Mindy laughed and said, yeah. Alicia said, girl, kiss some black men on that show. Mindy goes, oh, I have and I will. It's something people can look forward to. It was just a really awkward moment. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Like asking, yeah, that like, sounds... what color men are you into?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bold, random...
I feel like she was trying to tell her, like, you don't bring, you know, diversity to your
show.
That's
what I was going to say, oh. Yeah. I think that was her way of, like, kind of opening up that question, or maybe she thought Mindy was going to give her a little bit more and say, oh, you know, it was like a, yeah, it was like a bait, you know, yeah, it was like a little bait for it. But was it the most appropriate time to do it? No, yeah, probably not. Not on the carpet like that, but...
Well, so basically...
What questions are appropriate on the carpet?
That's true.
But that was awkward. Like, hey, so what kind of guy... I would have been like, what? Okay, what does this have to do with... Like, because right, she's mixing personal with
the show.
With the show.
It'd be different if she says something like, hey, Mindy, you know, I know your love interest is this type, but would Mindy be surfing in the pool of maybe other ethnic races? You know, something, yeah, you know, anything else,
you know,
besides.
Or to even boldly be like, so, you know, you like white guys on the show? Do you like white guys in real life?
Right.
Yeah.
Versus, so any color? Like,
right.
Yeah, that was odd.
That's odd.
That
yeah,
I like
in a way it's phrased,
I like red
too,
men.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I probably would give a smart answer myself.
And she's obviously Indian, so I'm, you know, Indians consider themselves brown or red, depending. Yeah. So yeah, like if you would have been like red, or I like brown people, like right, okay, that's
then
just
she would have been racist for saying the wrong
that's true,
term.
Yeah. You know,
it's ridiculous.
We go back and talk about how sensitive people are today about a lot of topics.
Exactly, everything makes you a racist.
Everything
as
is a racist
with Chelsea there.
Well, moving on. Speaking of sensitive, Chris Brown. We've been talking about him and rehab and whatnot. Well, he just got diagnosed as being bipolar.
That would make sense.
Yeah, like, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised
Listen,
by that.
Listen, majority of black people are bipolar.
I've heard
that. I mean, I don't even know if we have to just say black.
Okay, people.
Yeah, people in general.
See, I can't speak on the rest of the world, but I know my people.
Right.
I know my family, so I can speak on that.
Yeah.
So, basically, his probation officer came out to say that he requires close supervision, and it's not uncommon for patients with post-traumatic stress disorder to show the side of bipolar, and also to use substances and to self-medicate and moods causing the mood swings and all these little triggers. So they said he is getting better, but they want to keep him in there for 2 more months.
Wow.
Which his term is really interesting because I know he was out of rehab a couple, like last week. You know what I mean? Like,
really?
Yeah, I know. Like, he was just out, and he was hanging out with people. So I don't know, really know what his situation is.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
you're right,
as long as he's getting better, you know. So a couple things they said that are proving that he's gotten better is that he hasn't, they claim that he hasn't freaked out about Rihanna humping Drake. He also broke up with Carucci.
Really?
That was official. And that, yeah, basically he's been in there since October. Wow.
Wow.
Well, you know what? He needs some time to himself and to get himself together. There's one side to me that it's the little conspiracy theory side that I feel like, are they saying this because he's had so much troubles in court and things, and is this their way of like, oh, you know, he's changing, and maybe like the court and all the system taking a lesser, you know, using him as an example more, you know, less than they would have before because they're saying that he's bipolar, you know, or is this, you know, I don't know. They're just now realizing this?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I do believe it because in the sense of we look at these stories, right, where he emotionally can't handle certain things and his mom can't even have like a conversation with him or is kind of in a place like, okay, you know what? And I mean, dealing with people and friends who are bipolar, a lot of them didn't know, you know? I mean, they got even to a situation where I had to be like, girl, you are acting crazy.
Yeah.
And
you're
going to lose all of your friends if you... And she did. She went. She got help. It took her a year fully. Mm-hmm. And now she's recovered and she knows how to handle herself, living a totally perfect life.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, he was so young, and I want... Justin Bieber, maybe you need to get checked out. You know what I'm saying? But these people...
I think Justin's problem is a little different.
At Did he know that he really changed his ethnicity to African American?
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, great, and he's gonna donate. I was just thinking that he's gonna donate all this money to like African American colleges. I was like, amen.
Yeah,
we will gladly accept your money.
We'll gladly take it.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
But my thing is I hope that he takes this seriously for his career. Mm. I think
he has to.
It's kind of like, you know what? Take a seat back. Just let it chill. You're Chris Brown. You can come back strong.
And he has a great song with 7th Street on
the radio. He does. It's really dope.
And I was just talking about that with someone today. Like, this is great for his career. He's smooth in the video. He's not all up on some girl. It's just very, you know, it's good for his image. Yeah. The video, the song, everything. So he has, you know, he's relevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not only because of the rehab, but for his art. And I feel like that's good. And it's showing a better side of him. So I feel like he'll bounce back.
And also, actually, why he was out last week was he's in rehearsals with Ariana Grande.
Oh.
So they'll be releasing something soon, which, I mean, she's the newest pop icon.
Good.
The young kids will love her. Get his groupies back on. It'll be good.
And I feel like this is like his moment of transition. So this is where he stops being a little boy and doing little crazy antics and becomes a man.
Yeah.
You know, and it's time. You know?
Don't.
Because if he continues down that same path, it's going to be worse for him. You know what I mean? So
it's a realization period. So I'm very happy for
him.
Me too.
Good. Go Chris Brown.
That's right. Kudos.
And that's all I got for y'all.
But you have a little after buzz, like where they can catch other shows or something. Don't you have that?
Bump. Well, if y'all got a favorite TV show, we have the perfect channel for you. It's called After Buzz TV. Whatever your favorite TV show is, like Real Housewives of Atlanta, it comes on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Well, Monday, you can make sure you check us out at AfterBuzzTV.com. Whatever your favorite TV show is, as soon as it's done, just tune to AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yeah, tune into Mary Mary.
Boop.
That's right. That.
Well, thank you, Jesse, for that.
I'm on that.
On to the hot topics now. Now, I have a question before I start my hot topics. Who here can swim?
I'm a lifeguard.
Okay, I like that. Okay. Well, this story you should find very interesting. A black member of the NYPD diving unit claims he was forced to retire due to racial discrimination. Oscar Smith, who's the age of 48, told the New York Times that he was the target of racial taunts. His application was denied originally because the captain believed that black men cannot swim.
Wow.
Yeah, that one right there. Smith complained to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission multiple times because of racial bias. He said he was a victim of the continuous joke, what, black guys can't swim? How did you pass? What, black guys can't swim? How did you pass the test? So I was like, what? That's crazy. He said, I just couldn't deal with it anymore, and it was time for me to leave. So he decided to get an early retirement. He also has been called gay because he said that his members would taunt him because he wears toenail polish and toe rings. He said he's just a natural hippie and also a surfer black guy. So he said that he's not gay, and he said that these were also part of just the taunting that he couldn't take anymore in the department. He was the first black diver in the unit's history, and since his retirement in 2013, there are no current black members among the 29 divers that they have for the New York PD.
And he was fired?
He retired, but he said that he retired because of the taunting and the racial discrimination that was put upon him daily because of his captain believing that black man can't swim.
And this is NYPD?
This is NYPD.
Which hurts my heart because I'm a New Yorker and I have family members who were like some of the first prominent police officers, detectives, you know, just first black men in some units in New York. Detectives, narc detectives. My great-grandfather had a very, you know, established, I think he was like a chief or something, you know, first black person for NYPD. So that definitely shows me how we've digressed. And as a woman of color, and I'm a swimmer and I'm a lifeguard, and I swim competitively in high school, I would say that there aren't a lot of us. And when I think about the importance of swimming, I think I've heard a statistic where it could have changed over the years, but a lot of people, I think death by drowning was like number one maybe a few years back from natural disasters. And it brings me back to Katrina.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the population was, of course, African American.
That's very true.
And a lot of the population died because they weren't able to swim. So they would be like on the top of a roof waiting for help for days, or washed away with the current because they didn't know how to either, you know, flow with the current or fight the current or whatever it is. But swimmers learn that. Lifeguards learn that. And it definitely is something that we need to make more prominent in our community. You know what I mean? Swimming or things. I was a tennis player for 17 years. Like tennis, things that they don't expect people of color to know how to do.
Right.
You know, or to be a part of. And it sets you apart, and it also, in a more corporate sense, makes you, you know, more viable in a sense, you know.
Definitely.
But swimming is just so important, just because of the most important thing I could think of is Katrina and so many people who lost their lives of color because they could not swim.
That's true.
So, you know, it's something we need to, some type of nonprofit. We need a Diddy out there. Somebody, Oprah, Tyler Perry, one of you guys need to start looking into nonprofits for swimming for, you know, African Americans, because it's important.
Well, you know, it's funny. Initially, when I saw this, I got upset because I was like, I know how to swim. And a lot of black people I know how to swim. But when I went back and pulled up some of the statistics, I found it quite interesting, because it says, according to the USA Swimming Foundation, 70% of African American children can't swim. Mm. And they said a lot of it is due to the fear that the family is passed down to the kids, because the family, like our old school parents, are afraid of swimming and have never really been taught to swim. So they pass that down to their children.
Mm.
60% of Latinos children can't swim, while 40% of white children can't swim.
Mm.
So obviously the white side of things, Caucasian side of things, is, has the less percentage. Now, another fact that I said was, before the Civil War, more blacks than whites actually were better swimmers while they were slaves. And they said, in fact, many of the slaves had to save their owners during, like, trying to cross the water, because a lot of the owners couldn't swim. So I found that was, like, a little bit of an interesting fact. But
yeah, it's very good.
All I got to say is, no matter what color you are, you need to know how to swim. Listen, we are in a state of natural catastrophe at any time.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're going to have
earthquakes,
water,
tornadoes,
whatever. So just get your earthquake pack, and also learn how to swim.
Because
the revolution is real.
Revelation.
Especially in New York. You know, the conspiracy theorists say there's going to be this huge tsunami thing that, like, crushes New York. So New York is especially, you know, learn how to swim.
You don't need to be retiring any of the divers. You need to be hiring.
Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
We got one right here if you need someone.
Yeah. Yes. But we'll save you if you don't know how to swim.
Yeah.
You know, we got
the
swimmers right.
I got the lifeguards thing still. Still remember a trick or two.
A trick or two.
Wait, nothing happened to his boss?
He's probably going to sue.
Oh, well, it just said that he had no comment as of yet. The NYPD Blue was making an investigation.
Why is he going to?
And
like,
they had no comment right now. So, no, basically what that really is that the fact that they will have...
He'll be fired
eventually. Okay. They're probably just not saying too much. Oh, also another thing is, for those people who say that black people can't swim, there were actually three black swimmers in the last Olympics.
Look at that.
Leah Neal, Anthony Irvin, and Colin Jones were all part of the Olympic team, and they were black. So we do swim.
Mm. You better swim,
We
bitch.
Need to get our percentage up, but we do swim.
Yes.
All right, moving on. So Obama is making headlines again, this time for some drama that's going on in Ukraine.
Lordy.
A day after Obama ordered a sanction over Russia's military to take over Crimea. Is that how it's pronounced? Crimea?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to go with Crimea. Russia's President Vladimir Putin rejected the U.S. position, saying his country could not ignore calls for help from the ethnic Russians in the Ukraine after what he has termed an illegitimate power grab by pro-Western agitators. Obama authorized the Treasury Department on Thursday to improve sanctions on individuals and entities responsible for the Russian intervention in Crimea for stealing the assets of the Ukrainian people. Now, this is the financial measures and a separation ban on the U.S. visas are part of the administrator's effort to squeeze Russia into pulling back its troops in Crimea, a pro-Russia region of the Ukraine that does not recognize the country's new Western leaders.
Mm.
So, what do you guys think about Obama's kind of interjection into this whole Ukrainian drama?
Obama, we have enough problems at home.
Okay.
And I said this to you guys before the show, like, there's a ton of people on unemployment, or no, who need unemployment, who aren't getting it here in America, but you're pushing money into the Ukraine. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Or we're going to start charging people who need health benefits because they couldn't afford to sign up for them.
But you're pushing money into the Ukraine.
Or I'm in Tent City every day downtown L.A.,
But you're pushing money into the Ukraine.
And I do agree with you guys, but where I disagree is the fact that I think that Obama, you know, we obviously know that he's coming to the end of his term. I think he's trying to do as much things as possible. And he, you know, we obviously have Obamacare, and he's pushing money into certain things in the U.S., and he's trying to help out, you know, the Ukraine as well.
I feel like we just have so many national issues. International. His only concern internationally should be to bring the troops home. That's it.
Mm. Well, which I is mean, what I thought was the whole.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, technically, that's
right?
the point.
Right? Like 7 years ago, I'm going to bring all the troops home. And now we're like, oh.
But I still just can't put that. I can't put that all on him, though.
No, I mean, you can't put that all on him. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it's just hard for me to hear these stories. And I get it. Like, you know, and I love the fact that we do have the ability to reach out and help other countries.
Yeah.
But it just, it drives me crazy, like, because I'm downtown all the time. And I mean, that's just one little section right. of mm-hmm. our country. Mm-hmm. And to see just what's happening on these four or five streets in this neighborhood is like
Skid Row.
And just driving across America, the things I've seen, it's just like, maybe that's what the president needs to do. Maybe he needs to drive across America. You know what I mean? Like,
but you don't think Obama knows that?
Well,
listen, he can.
But his hands are tied with a lot of these issues.
He should give a helping word to Ukraine. That's about it. A helping word. Here's some advice. Here's what I think.
Here's what we would do. But then they would look at us like, well, we're good. Yeah, we don't need to do it with America's.
Right, but you know what? We need those international alliances as well. So it's a, you know, we have to scratch each other's back because we do know that they could, you know, things could turn differently. Who knows who we may need in the future?
That's true. You're right.
You know,
well, we need something right now. I'm just saying. We need a lot of things right now. I'm just saying.
We do. Well, I'll tell you something. Who else might need a few things and maybe some therapy sessions or I don't know some mediators or whatever is Anthony Mackie and Spike Lee. They have a little bit of beef that's going on right now.
I don't know if Anthony Mackie needs
it. Well, actually, Anthony might not. That's true. Well, there's a big debate over some comments that Spike Lee recently made about gentrification. And if for those of you who don't know what that is, gentrification is a shift in an urban community towards wealthier residents and or businesses and increasing property values. So basically it's like
Brooklyn.
It's basically the Jeffersons. We moving
Washington
on up.
Washington Heights, you know, Harlem. Right. I mean, we can go.
But we're not moving on up. We're moving on out.
We're moving on out. You're right. That, moving on
that's,
out.
That's the difference.
That's true. We're moving on out. Yeah. You're right about that. Well, Mackie was not really happy with some of the comments that Spike Lee had recently made at which college was this that he was at? He was recently at one of the colleges in New York, which I'll give you in 2 seconds, and he made his comments known about how he felt about gentrification. And Lee got a hold of those, Mackie got a hold of those, and he questioned Lee's concern over the issue. He noted that Lee currently does not live in Brooklyn, but moved to Manhattan, the Upper East Side, and is in a form I'm of done. Reverse I'm gentrification. Sorry. I must add that.
He's moving on up like the
He's moving on up. And this is what is. Mackie's comments came after Lee appeared as a guest lecturer for the for an African-American History Month event at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. After an audience member mentioned gentrification to Lee as a positive shift in demographics, Lee said this.
What Lee calls a white hipster.
He was a white hipster, what Lee calls him, yes. And then Lee went on to do a 7-minute rant, which I'll read right now. He says, here's the thing. I grew up in Fort Greene. I grew up here in New York. It's changed. And why does it take an influx of white New Yorkers in the South Bronx and Harlem and Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights for the facilities to get better? The garbage wasn't picked up every mother freaking, I'm paraphrasing that mother freaking because we know what he used instead of that, mother freaking day when I was living in 165th Washington Park. The police weren't around. When you see white mothers pushing their babies in strollers 3 o'clock in the morning on 125th, that must tell you something.
Preach.
Now, Mackie said towards Lee, I live in Brooklyn. My address is Brooklyn. I have 2 restaurants in Brooklyn. Hey. I don't have a problem with gentrification. The people who want to live in Brooklyn move to Brooklyn.
I want to say this because I lived in New York and my thing is this. The one thing y'all got to realize is white people are annoying. So what they do is, I'm serious, I lived on 156 in Broadway. So I, you know what I'm saying? Like
rice and beans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So The thing that I noticed there when I lived there, and I lived there because I was broke and I was a college student and I was, actually I dropped out of college. I was trying to be a stand-up comedian, and so I was trying to make it in life, right? And one thing I noticed about this community is these people never left their block, mm-hmm. ever. Oh, that ain't my life. That ain't my life. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be Christopher Columbus or nothing, but at the same time, I'm also, you know, I'm here, I'm living in my apartment. I don't want to go outside with, you know, drug dealers and needles on my things. So, yes, I do complain to my landlord. I'll be like, excuse me, trash still is outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just what happens. In Brooklyn, perfect example, Silver Street, Sterling Street, excuse me. My homeboy used to go to his house all the time. The white neighbor would always be complaining, there's loud music, and then all of a sudden, what happened? The signs went up because this bitch complained. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel you.
I mean, don't know if it's like, oh, the white people are coming in. I think that that is a case at times.
Yes. However, well, especially in Harlem. Listen, but I lived in Harlem, and it is 360 of what it used to be.
This is what I say. For Harlem, when you know the red tour buses that you could catch in every single like so major city in the world, when the red tour buses start coming up to 125th Street,
right before church,
I was literally like 18 years old, like what the hell is going on? Like 4 years ago was not like this. It's like that now. Like they passed the Apollo Theater, it was not like that when I was a kid.
That's true.
So gentrification, and especially in Brooklyn now, the Barclays has changed the game. I've legitimately met people from Australia who came backpacking to New York from Australia. I met them in the airport. I was flying from LA to New York. And they were just asking all these questions because, of course, they're new. They don't know any better. And they were just the lady, I think it was the officer in the subway was telling her, she was like, well, where's 125th Street, Harlem? Is it safe? And then you mentioned Brooklyn. And she was just like, oh, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Like this Australian lady felt so safe about Brooklyn.
Oh, well,
and it's because of the Barclays. It's because of Jay-Z and Beyonce and all these things.
It's the glorification.
The common gentrification. Yeah. Like years ago, it was Harlem. But right now, the Mecca is Brooklyn, and they are pushing people of color out. A lot of people cannot afford to live downtown Brooklyn anymore. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And it's funny because, I mean, I feel like I was living there right around the start of the Brooklyn situation because I went to Pace University. So Pace University was trying to find dorms for all of their students. So what do they do? Well, right over the, you know, it's expensive
it's
in Manhattan, but it's cheaper over in Manhattan. Yeah. So they put their little college kids in this
downtown
building.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
And like I said, the white people be annoying. They'd be like, well, I don't want my kid living in, you know, there's crackheads on the street.
Yeah.
Well, Brooklyn, we can't have crackheads. We have college kids here. Well, all right, let's put some signs up. And it just spreads and it spreads and it spreads. But it's just, I don't know, I just look at it from a place of complaining and things having to change. And you know what I mean? I don't know. I look at all sides of it. I don't think it's...
I see both sides, but I hate to... I never thought I'd say this, but I kind of agree more with Spike Lee.
Me too.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, let's just keep it honest. I mean, we all are trying to strive to do better to not have to live in certain situations. So why is that wrong if that's your choice? If Spike Lee wants to make it better for his family, he doesn't live in Brooklyn anymore. That doesn't mean his heart's not still in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
His, you know what I mean? That's still there, but he just wants to have a better life for his family and move out. I mean, but that doesn't mean that he won't give money to the community or you know, whatever, but it just, I feel like Anthony went a little hard on him, and maybe Anthony's more, I don't know where Anthony's from, I guess he is from Brooklyn. But maybe it's that, I understand that sense of pride with where you're from, but I don't think that you need to, just because someone wants to move out, that you should judge them because
but
of that.
But the 7-minute rant to the white kid?
Spike always rants, so we know Spike's always ranting.
I feel like Spike's issue was that you guys were not paying attention to us and doing right by us until white people moved
into
the
community.
And that's not right. And I feel like Mackie's thing is like, well, I'm okay with it because I have these two businesses and all these, because people of all color, creed, everything are just like, you know, flocking to Brooklyn. So for his business, it's a beautiful thing. That's why Mackie's like, why are you acting like that?
Right.
You know, and I'm not mad at him either. He has these businesses in Brooklyn you want to keep, you know, just, you know, funding and flourishing. I love the fact that Brooklyn is flourishing
right now.
But I don't like the fact that they're pushing our people out.
Right. I hate that fact. But where do people... here's the thing. When what do you do about that? Because
rent control, do the things that even though you feel like they aren't right because, oh, if they get to pay less money, then they bring the property value down. Do what's right, you know? Mm-hmm. Set rules and boundaries. No, you can't be loud and have crazy parties after 3 to 3 and 4 in the morning. But because you've been in this community for 25 years, your rent should not be $3,000 a month.
Right.
You know, find that medium because it's not fair.
Yeah.
It is not fair.
Well, yeah, and you know, like we talk about New York, it's like you push everybody out and where do they go? Because you go up to Harlem, people have to start moving up to the higher numbers, and you go down to Brooklyn, people are moving down to like the lower, you know, lower areas of Brooklyn because of this gentrification. But
I just don't think Brooklyn is safe, period.
You crazy. Downtown Brooklyn, you know those
Park Slopes is the business.
Left on the train tracks.
Park Slopes is the business.
Downtown is the Dumbo building, like those lofts are easy $700,000. And it's as soon as you cross over the bridge, you're like the first set of buildings you see. It's ridiculous amounts of money.
There's a lot of money going in there. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they can get the situation. Well, I don't think, you know, they went back and forth, but I think it's pretty much over at this point. But I know that Mackie has starred in two of Spike's movies, She Hates Me and Sucker Free City. Well, it'll be interesting to see if he gets cast in any more of Spike Lee movies comments.
All right.
But on that note, thank you guys for tuning in to this week. Jesse, where can your fans find you?
At DJ Jesse J.
Chloe.
At Chloe Onyx. You can find me on Instagram at Chloe Onyx and on Twitter at Chloe Onyx 11.
You can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, remember to go to the BuzzMeter question, which is, should Lupita Nyong'o do a Tyler Perry film? I want to go vote right now.
Me too.
And I also want to remind everybody to go to iTunes to give us a rating and comment because we really appreciate that. You guys have been great with doing that and it helps us to improve the shows. We have about 20 shows right now, which is crazy.
God. It's
crazy.
And wait, we're almost a year.
We're
going to
celebrate Black Hollywood Live in a year, like next week.
Although low key, today was our 50th show for this week.
Aww. So you guys joined us today. So thank you.
Yay.
We will see you next week. Have a great weekend.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.